This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Bill Murray dropping some truth bombs on Rogan's podcast about Bob Woodward, who's been wrong on just about, well, everything. And this time he says his book on Belushi was criminal. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. Our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Great to have you with us. It's been a busy show, as it always is. Trump announcing his big chip deal, big chip investment. Tomorrow is the address to the nation. Big time address to the nation tomorrow night. Presidential joint address to Congress. President shall deliver from time to time. He's delivering it tomorrow night. But I tell you, I don't always listen to Rogan's podcast. First of all, they're long. I can't find 2 hours of my day or 3 hours of my day, it seems. And I know people stop and start them, but this clip went viral of what Bill Murray said about his friend John Belushi. So John Belushi, in my mind, ranks as one of the all-time true comic geniuses. Not just the OG Saturday Night Live, but also John Belushi. His movies, I mean, Animal House is perfection, in my opinion. Blues Brothers, perfection. Just an outstanding movie. He was in a bunch of other stuff, too. Some stuff that was good, some stuff that was pretty good. 1941, I think, is a great movie. Definitely underrated, in my opinion, underrated. Continental Divide, Neighbors, Going South. But Animal House and the Blues Brothers will always stand out in my mind as being the absolute best. You know what I mean? Just he and Aykroyd in Blues Brothers, fantastic. And one of the things about Bob Woodward is that people have said that the guy has gotten so many things wrong. He's considered to be the all-time like gold standard journalist. Every journalist wants to be Bob Woodward, Woodward and Bernstein. They bring down Nixon. And the question, of course, that everybody always asks is, was he framed by the deep state for wanting to get out of Vietnam? That's always the question that I've heard a lot of people have brought up that question over the years. He wants to get out of Vietnam. He's trying to end the war. The deep state brings him down because he won in 1972 in a massive landslide, And obviously he was a very popular president of the United States until Watergate happened. And the thing about it is that, you know, I mean, it's not like he was the first guy to play dirty politics. They all played dirty politics, but they went after him. And I guess you can say maybe he should have just fought it out, you know, not resign the presidency and just kept going, because that was obviously their goal, was to remove him. And then ultimately, you know, I mean, my biggest problem with Nixon has always been he created the EPA. The Environmental Protection Agency, which is the biggest thorn in our side as the American people. But anyway, this is what Bill Murray said regarding the book Wired about Belushi. He said this on Rogan's podcast.
When I read Wired, the book written by, what's his name, Woodward, about Belushi, I read like 5 pages of Wired, and I went, oh my God, they framed Nixon. like all of a sudden I went, oh my God, if this is what he writes about my friend that I've known, you know, for half my adult life,
yeah,
which is completely inaccurate, talking to like the people of the outer circle getting the story, what the hell could they have done to Nixon? I just felt like if he did this to my friend like this, And I acknowledge I only read five pages, but the five pages I read, you know, made me want to, like, set fire to the whole thing.
Jamie, see if you can
those
find
five
that.
Pages, I went, if he did this to Belushi, what he did to Nixon is probably soiled for me, too. I can't take it. And I know you say, well, you could have two sources and everything like that. But the two sources that he had, if he had them for the Wired book, were so far outside the inner circle that it was criminal, cruel.
Criminal and cruel. As our buddy Dr. Victoria Coates said, don't even get me started on Bob Woodward. The number two man at the FBI wanted revenge against Nixon for not appointing him as J. Edgar Hoover's successor. Half a century later, we found out that the said man was the infamous Woodward source, Deep Throat, as our buddy the miscreant of Weird pointed out. It's a hell of a coincidence. But I do think that the thing about and also, too, let's just give Bill Murray his props. I mean, that guy's another one who's just a legend. He's a legend. I struggle to figure out what's my favorite Bill Murray movie, but I'm certainly Groundhog Day is always up there as just one of the great philosophical movies of all time. But he's terrific. That early cast of Saturday Night Live. Oh, and Saturday Night Live was actually pretty funny this weekend. There were some funny moments. There were some funny jokes at Saturday Night Live. They actually were a little edgy. And that, I think that's because you had Shane Gillis as the host. So it was pretty funny. But you know what's not funny, though? I didn't like the Oscars. I didn't watch the Oscars last night. I just took a couple of things about it that annoyed me. These award shows, a bunch of pompous ass people getting together to pat themselves on the back and give themselves awards and movies that nobody has seen. Honestly, like, you can't even really name them. I always get invited to an annual Oscar party. I didn't go, but I didn't see any of the movies. I don't bother with it. I love movies, but I never the movies that they wind up nominating. But I guess Conan O'Brien decided to go after Trump a little bit last night.
Welcome back to the 97th Long Form Content Awards. You know, Anora's having a good night.
Yeah,
that's great. Yeah, that's great news. Two wins already. I guess Americans are excited to see somebody finally stand up to a powerful Russian.
It could have been a funny joke if he actually leaned into it. If you're going to make a joke like that, then yeah, I don't know. You got to lean into it a little bit more, I think. That's my own analysis of that. But speaking of powerful Russians, Zelensky just made Putin even more powerful by saying that he thinks the war is not going to end anytime soon. And there's breaking news around Gene Hackman's death as well. So I'm going to give you that as well, too, the investigation of where that stands. But apparently now, and this is something that I found fascinating about what President Trump posted to Truth Social earlier today regarding Zelensky and what he said. And he said the following. He said this was the absolute worst statement that could have been made by Zelensky, and America will not put up with it for much longer. It is what I was saying. This guy doesn't want to be there. Doesn't want to be peace as long as he has America's backing. In Europe, in the meeting they had with Zelensky, he stated flatly that they cannot do the job without the United States. Probably not a great statement to have been made in terms of a show of strength against Russia. What are they thinking? And it's from this AP News article. This AP News article that came out, which essentially says that Zelensky says that the war is it's a long way from being over with Russia. Because he doesn't want to concede any territory. That's what it is. And as long as he keeps saying that, then he's not, he can keep bilking the taxpayers. Ukraine's Zelensky says the end of the war with Russia is very, very far away. So as long as you say stuff like that, then you prove everybody who's been saying that this guy doesn't want peace, you prove all of them correct when you say that, right? Because you could have had peace on Friday. And Scott Jennings on CNN said all the guy to do was just put on a suit and tie, show up, sign something, smile, and have lunch. That was it. It's all you had to do. And you would have been good. And then you would have, the war would have been close to over. But the problem is there's a lot of people that don't want the war to be over. And it's the military-industrial complex, again, that doesn't. And Tulsi Gabbard said, you know, the longer this goes on, the longer this goes on, we get, you know, more Ukrainians are going to be dying.
Really, there's two viable paths here. One is that this war continues on as it has for over 3 years. More and more Ukrainians will lose their lives. More and more of the country of Ukraine will be decimated and destroyed in this what will continue to be essentially a war of attrition. And to what end? To what outcome? President Trump sees this reality. So the alternative to this, which he is so intent on, which he talked about continuously throughout his campaign, that the American people voted for, is his commitment to ending this war and bringing about peace. That requires bringing interested parties to the table to conduct these negotiations. Of course, both sides are going to have their arguments and their interests that they are fighting for. This is the reality of how these negotiations always occur during times of war. Neither side is going to be happy, very likely, with the outcome, but ultimately it needs to lead to peace. And that's what President Trump is so committed to, because he recognizes that the longer this goes on, not only are more Ukrainians losing their lives, but it increases the potential of this escalation towards World War III that he warned against as he sat there with Zelensky, saying that he's gambling with World War III, and that's not a cost that President Trump is willing to accept.
I don't want to accept World War III as a gamble. I don't gamble, but if I were to gamble, I wouldn't be gambling on World War III. That's like the worst gamble you can take. I don't want to gamble at World War III. Are you kidding me? Stop it already. Stop it. Nobody wants to gamble with World War III. I'm not gambling with that. I don't have the money to gamble. That's number one. But no, it is true, though, that if Zelensky says the war with Russia is very, very far from being over, then all he can do is turn around and say that, yeah, he doesn't want this to end because he had it within his sights on Friday. He had it within his sights on Friday. And then when you've got John Bolton, if John Bolton's angry, then you know that you're onto something. That's how I always look at things. If John Bolton's upset, then you know that you're onto something. And Bolton on Friday was furious with what happened. He was furious with what happened. And this is a guy, Bolton has never met a war he doesn't love. He loves war. He's him and his mustache. Him and his mustache, which shaving that mustache would be a true act of war.
We are back with our esteemed reporters and friends. I want to do two things. Are joined by John Bolton by phone. He was national security advisor to Donald Trump during the events that
Nicole
led to Trump's
Wallace
first
and MSNBC.
Impeachment.
They hated Bolton. Don't forget.
John Bolton, hello. I want to play some sound that you and I were talking about. This is Marco Rubio and others on Putin and Zelensky before today's Oval Office ambush.
Russia is governed today by a gangster. He's basically an organized crime figure who controls a government in a large territory. There's no other way to describe Vladimir Putin.
And I think this entire invasion has been irrational. It's hard to understand what is actually being fed into Putin in terms of intelligence and reporting and how much of his own propaganda he believes.
What's at stake is repelling an authoritarian who basically is saying, I want the Soviet Union back, I want Ukraine back, I want Kiev back. And then what's at stake is making sure we don't allow it to become an Article 5 larger, broader war than that.
First of all, that was they're all still saying those things. They never stop saying those things. The goal Friday was not to get Ukraine to surrender to Russia. The goal Friday was to give Ukraine a peacekeeping force and to stop this war. That was the goal. So everything that Hegseth and Rubio said there and Mike Waltz said there is all true from their perspective. They didn't go in there and say, okay, Zelensky, here's what you got to do. You got to surrender. All right. And let's go have some lunch. Surrender, give up Ukraine to Russia, and let's go have some lunch. They didn't do that. They said, let's sign this mineral deal. We'll give you security forces and then let's go have lunch. He had to put on a suit and tie, sign a deal, and go to lunch. That's all he had to do. That's it. And then everybody would have been good to go. But now, here's the reaction from warmonger John Bolton and his mustache.
John Bolton, your thoughts on folks, some of whom I imagine you know pretty well, today turning on a stalwart American ally fighting a clearly defined and understood American adversary.
How did we turn on an ally? I don't understand. They came into the room. They were going to do this mineral rights deal, and the deal fell through. Zelensky now says the end of the war with Russia is very, very far away. How did we turn on an ally? I still don't understand that. I still do not understand that to this moment. Do you? Really? I mean, I understand people are putting up I Stand With Ukraine pictures on Facebook and Instagram, which is nice, I guess. But that doesn't change the fact that the president of Ukraine did not sign the mineral rights deal. And that they had words, but he very easily could have just walked it back and said, all right, you know, maybe I should have been more grateful. Biden said the same thing about me. Maybe I'm not the best at showing gratitude. Maybe there's a language barrier, but let's get this deal signed and let's do this and let's get this done. Nothing changed after that, other than Zelensky saying the end of the war with Russia is very, very far away. It wasn't on Friday, except that Zelensky does not want to give up any land. So he wants to go back to the pre-Crimea borders, and that's never going to happen. So, yeah. As long as he keeps saying that and people keep putting their I Stand With Ukraine pictures on, and then the Democrats have a talking point, and then, you know, Europe saying they got to step up. So I guess, yeah, this war will go on. They tried to put an end to it on Friday. I'm sorry. Here's Bolton.
Yeah, this is really one of the most disgraceful performances that I've seen. And I think it's important to understand that, in particular, Trump and Vance own this personally. This is the kind of attack on a country that's defending itself from an unprovoked aggression, and they just unleashed on Zelensky in public. And whether they planned it or not, I don't know. I'm not that concerned with questions of etiquette. I am concerned that the president, vice president of the United States, have sided with the aggressor, with as Mike Waltz was just saying there, somebody who's trying to recreate the Russian Empire, something he's been very clear about since 2005 at least.
How does getting Zelensky into the Oval Office to sign a mineral rights deal and provide security forces side with the evil dictator? What am I missing here? What are any of us missing here? I really can't figure this out. All right. Well, I guess you'll figure it out. All right. There's breaking news on Gene Hackman's death, and the Love Gov is back. Yes, the Love Gov is back. Let me just say, Radio Gods, thank you for answering all of my prayers, all of my prayers that the Love Gov is back. New York stinks, but we're going to make it smell great again. New York stinks. Am I going to follow at Andrew Cuomo running for mayor of New York City? You bet your butt I am. I said butt. It's a family show. You bet I'm going to follow him. New Yorkers, all of us, listen to them cheering for me. Look at me. They're cheers for me. Look at that. It's an actual video from his Twitter feed. It's just people just cheering. It could theoretically be for anybody.
We have working men and women in the hall tonight!
Do we have women in the hall tonight? You said men too? Oh. Do we have women in the hall tonight? The Love Gov, I'm back. I'm back, baby. And better than ever before. I'll give you more details on that. New York stinks. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., wealth management specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
I'll be honest with you. The hardest part of Cuomo running for mayor is just going to be me figuring out what I love to make fun of Cuomo for running for mayor. But I'm thrilled. I really am. I'm just thrilled. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 is the number if you want to weigh in today on our fourth and final hour. So I guess, you know, Gene Hackman, they still don't have a lot of definitive answers on what happened here. But, you know, they got pills, phones, they got all kinds of things. It's still under investigation. His friends say he was slowing down and reclusive. I mean, he was 94 freaking years old. 94 years old, I'd be slowing down too. I'm not anywhere close to that age and I'm slowing down. The sheriff, though, says the timeline may be a challenge. But, you know, the Los Angeles Times reporting, can pills, phones, and photos unlock the mystery? They're saying it's going to take weeks to sort out the death of actor Gene Hackman and his wife. as they were found dead with their family's three dogs. One of their family's three dogs. No obvious signs of foul play. The circumstances of their deaths warranted further investigation. They had the medical examiners involved. The investigators are looking at pills found at the scene. But the pills, as far as I know, they're just like, it's like thyroid pills. And I mean, everybody's on thyroid pills. Like thyroid pills and I don't know, a couple other. I mean, nothing major. It wasn't like they found fentanyl or anything like that. I don't think, anyway. And they're saying we'll be analyzing cell phone data, phone calls, text messages, events, photos in the cell phone to try to piece together a timeline. Speaking of legends. Oh, Runaway Jury. Yeah, that's, I was going to watch that this weekend and then we got, but but I did, you know what I did watch? Michael Fassbender plays this, this hitman in a movie called The Killer. It's by director David Fincher, who did Fight Club and Seven and Zodiac. And the movie was great. It was great. It was great. I love that movie. And my wife stayed awake the whole point. And that's, I always tell you, if Bridget can stay awake, then you know you're onto something. This is a stat I've made before to you, but this is fascinating. The European Union spent more on Russian fuel than it did on Ukraine aid in 2024. And that's something. Isn't that amazing? I've made this point so many times over the years that the European Union, the Kremlin has exported nearly $1 trillion in fossil fuels since the beginning of the war in Ukraine. See, Putin doesn't want this war to end either. But the and what did our dopey asleep at the switch president do last time? What did he do? He, Joe Biden, decided to put a ban on liquid natural gas exports. That's what he did. So $1 trillion. Russia, think about that. Russia has made over $1 trillion from the European Union. They've given him more money buying his natural gas than they've sent to Ukraine. Isn't that something? Wow. It's just really amazing stuff, if you ask me. It's just Putin just, I mean, either he nor Zelensky want the war to end, it seems. Oh, did you see the Oscars with their indigenous land acknowledgement? The performative nonsense of the Oscars and their a brief land acknowledgement during the ceremony. Actress Julianne Hough gave recognition to three Native American tribes in a 15-second segment during the 97th annual Oscars ceremony. We gather in celebration of the Oscars on the ancestral lands of the Tongva, Tentavivium, and Chumash peoples. And traditional caretakers of this water and land, we honor and pay our respects to indigenous communities here and around the world. 15 seconds, they did. And it was, yes, performative nonsense. Remember the time Marlon Brando did not come out and take the Oscar, but that Indian lady who wasn't even an Indian came out and made the announcement that that Brando wasn't going to take the Oscar?
We gather in celebration of the Oscars on the ancestral lands of the Tongva, Tatavium, and Chumash peoples, the traditional caretakers of this water and land. We honor and pay our respects to indigenous communities here and around the world. We gather in celebration of the Oscars on the ancestral lands of the Tongva, Tatavium, and Chumash peoples, the traditional caretakers of this water and land.
So Marlon Brando had Sachin Littlefeather come out. And then Clint Eastwood.
Mr. Clint Eastwood. Wow.
Remember what he did after that? Eastwood's the best, man.
I don't know if I should present this award on behalf of all the cowboys shot in all the John Ford Westerns over the years.
They didn't know what to do with that. They were like, do we clap? I don't know. But the Academy apologized to her.
For many actors, winning the Academy Award marks the pinnacle of their career.
But for Marlon Brando, it was an opportunity to make a statement. But the messenger was vilified. CTV's Andrea Case joins us now with an apology five decades in the making.
Yes, good evening, Sean.
For Clint Eastwood's joke.
Sachin Littlefeather delivered Brando's acceptance speech. It was not well received. And for that, 49 years later, she has now received an apology.
Oh, thank God.
Marlon Brando in The Godfather.
In 1973, Marlon Brando was a no-show.
Accepting the award for Marlon Brando and the Godfather.
Godfather, Miss Shasheen Littlefeather.
On live television at Brando's request, the 26-year-old activist and actress made her way to the stage in a beaded buckskin dress and moccasins. At the podium, she declined the Best Actor Oscar.
He very regretfully cannot accept this very generous award. And the reasons for this being are the treatment of American Indians today by the film industry. Excuse me.
By the way, I think Elizabeth Warren is actually more Indian than Sachin Littlefeather was. There was another story about that. Did you know that? Is Sachin Littlefeather's claim to Native ancestry has just gotten a little more complicated. Newly publicized research indicates that the late activist, most famous for her controversial appearance at the 1973 Oscars, may have indigenous roots after all, but they're not quite sure. Now, one of her friends and former associates came forward with genealogical records that indicate the activist best known for refusing Brando's Oscar may have had indigenous ancestry after all. So she might be, it's possible she was a little bit more Native American than Elizabeth Warren, but possibly not much. Because it turns out that she was Mexican, and that none of them had connections to tribes in the United States is what they found. But then a friend came along and was like, no, she may have had some ancestry. It's very, very possible. But anyway, there's Sachin Littlefeather was a Native American icon. This is from the San Francisco Chronicle, that far right wing newspaper. Her sisters say she was an ethnic fraud. The Apache actress and activist wasn't Native American, say her sisters, and that wasn't the only things that she lied about. That wasn't the only thing. So then the Oscars apologized to her for that. And then last night they did their little phony little thing about, you know, we're standing here on this land. Well, give it back then. Give it back. If you feel like you stole it from them, give it back.
We gather in celebration of the Oscars on the ancestral lands of the Tongva, Tataviam, and Chumash peoples, the traditional caretakers of this water and land. We honor and pay our respects to indigenous communities here and around the world.
I love the music. Don't you love the music? I mean, I'm just saying, you know what I mean? I just think I like that, you know.
There we go. I'm glad for everybody who's joining this video.
Speaking of fake Native Americans.
Hold on a sec. I'm going to get me a beer.
You do that. Okay. So where was I going with all this? Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. Gene Hackman, I think. Yes. And I think I started there. We wind up going off on these tangents. The LoveGov is back. The LoveGov is back. Okay, baby, he's back. Thank God he's back. We've all missed the LoveGov. What would we do without the LoveGov is the question. And in thinking of the hits of some of the things he said over the years, this ranks up there as one of my
favorites. Communicate the facts to get past the doubt. And create incentives for a population that is so-so on the vaccine. So today we announce a major statewide vaccination incentive for those who have not yet received the vaccine. We announced a plan where you could win up to $5 million if you get vaccinated next week. Vax and scratch. How do you like that?
I miss that guy. Vax and scratch. Scratch this. Scratch that. Vax and scratch. You like that? And then I love how he turns around and goes, you like that name? Huh? You like that? Hang on. Just go back.
Come. And scratch. How do you like that name?
You like that? You like that?
Vax and scratch.
I thought of that.
A vaccination.
You get a scratch.
And you get a lottery ticket for the $5 million.
Or your choice, I will come over there, if you're a woman, and scratch your belly and tickle you. Vax and scratch. You can scratch the card, or I'll come over and scratch you. Now, that was good, of course, but we all remember this from the early days.
New York State Clean.
New York stinks.
Hand sanitizer made conveniently by the state of New York.
Prisoners.
This is a superior product to products now on the market.
So he had prisoners, prison labor, making his New York stinks hand sanitizer. This is a far superior product. Far superior. New York stinks now in lavender and lilac. And if you like, and if you are a woman, I will come over and apply New York stinks on you while I tickle you for Vax and Scratch. So you get New York stinks and Vax and Scratch together, and I'll tickle you and your choice, you get both.
The World Health Organization, CDC, all those people suggest 60% alcohol content. Purell, competitor to New York State Clean,
stinks.
70% alcohol. This is 75%. Current capacity is 100,000 gallons per week. And we're going to be
made by prisoners.
Up. We'll be providing this to governmental agencies, schools, the MTA, prisons, etc.
Well, the prisoners were making them though. So why were you giving them to the? That's what I don't. I never really understood that because you know the prisoners were just making them. So why'd you give them? New York Vax Scratch and Stinks? All of it together. Oh, and on some health news, by the way, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has announced, by the way, he says the measles outbreak is a call to action for all of us. He's urging people to get the measles vaccine. He said it is a personal choice. Obviously, he said vaccines not only protect individual children from measles, but also contribute to community and immunity, protecting those who aren't able to be vaccinated due to medical reasons. That's what Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the Secretary of Health and Human Services, said. And he said, in response to this outbreak, I've directed the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the Administration for Strategic Preparedness and Response to work closely with the Texas health authorities to provide comprehensive support. HHS's efforts include offering technical assistance, laboratory support, vaccines, and therapeutic medications as needed. The CDC is in continuous communication with Texas health officials, ensuring a coordinated and effective response to contain the outbreak. I have spoken with Governor Greg Abbott and Texas health officials, committing to providing them any additional support they need to bring this outbreak to the end. I've also spoken to the bereaved parents of the deceased children to offer consolation. And he said, parents play a pivotal role in safeguarding their children's health. All parents should consult with their healthcare providers to understand their options to get the MMR vaccine. The decision to vaccinate is a personal one. Vaccines not only protect individual children from measles, but also contribute to community immunity, protecting those who aren't able to be vaccinated due to medical reasons. So he wrote this whole op-ed on FoxNews.com about it. There you go. And that is the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental, VanariaDental.com. Dr. Mike Vanaria with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, VanariaDental.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
And they did rule out carbon monoxide poisoning in Gene Hackman's death. Did I mention that? I'm not sure if I mentioned that earlier. They did rule that out. And I forgot to mention No Way Out as one of the great Gene Hackman movies. Him and Kevin Costner together. That was a great spy movie. Yeah, that was a great one. By the way, the president today, the big story, which we announced earlier today, big chip investment. The president announcing semiconductor $100 billion investment in U.S. chip manufacturing plants. Taiwan Semiconductor, $100 billion investment in U.S. chip manufacturing plants. That was announced earlier. We covered that earlier in the show for you today. So just in case you missed it, it's Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing, bolster chip manufacturing over the next 4 years in the United States. They supply semiconductors to the likes of NVIDIA and Apple for artificial intelligence use and would help support the Trump administration's efforts to make the U.S. an artificial intelligence hub. Good. I'd rather it be us because I want our AI to be able to beat up their AI. That's how I feel about these things. That's what I want. I want our AI to beat up their AI. So if we can do that, then that's great. And of course, Trump has called out and accused Taiwan of stealing U.S. chip manufacturing. So this will be a multi-billion dollar AI infrastructure project with Oracle. Trump had accused Taiwan of stealing U.S. chip industry, and that was back in October. And so, you know, now that he won, he'd said that on Joe Rogan's podcast. And now that he won, they're coming, you know, cash in hand to say, hey, baby, let's make an investment here. Let's do this. But yeah, it was on Rogan's podcast. Don't worry about finding the clip. I remember he had criticized the U.S. CHIPS Act, said he would implement tariffs on chips from Taiwan if elected president. Well, you see, the threat of tariffs on Taiwan has led them to make this huge investment. Because he said, you know, quote, you know, Taiwan, they stole our chip business and they want protection. And then everybody needs these chips. So this was a big deal today. That was a big deal. We covered it earlier in the show for you. So if you missed it, go back and listen to it. Speaking of the movie No Way Out, Kevin Costner was asked who one of his favorite actors working with was. No surprise there. He tells a story. I can't play it because there's way too many curse words in it. But just this is just a little glimpse into this.
Sometimes
this
who's the cool. best actor? Very impossible question because I'm going to leave really good actors, you know, not on the list. They are on the list. But if somebody said to me, you know, what actor just really, really blew you away? Okay. So we're not saying best, but we know what we're saying. And I'd say Gene Hackman. It was the most real. I'll tell you a story.
Yeah, there you go. They're still investigating it. They ruled out carbon monoxide poisoning. Obviously, he was a Marine too. So I don't know if I mentioned that. He was a Marine. Oh, God bless him for his service. No more details though today during the show, and we'll definitely keep an eye on all those things. Oh, and the issue of Zelensky in Ukraine, and I was thinking about this before because I just kept thinking about I'm a huge Tulsi Gabbard fan, as you know. I think she does a great job. She's always been for freedom, and that's why she never belonged to the Democrat Party. It's a good thing she's not in the Democrat Party. She just doesn't belong there. She made a point over the weekend that kind of got missed in all this, but she said, you know, all these countries in Europe that are out there standing with Zelensky and saying that they're on the side of Zelensky and they're criticizing the United States of America and all of this stuff, all these things that they're saying, these are countries that are cracking down on freedom all the time. And, we should call that out, right? I mean, we should call that out because these are countries that are implementing very anti-freedom policies. And yet now they're lecturing us in the United States of America. I thought that was a very important point that she made over the weekend with Shannon Bream on Fox News Sunday.
And in the case of many of those European countries, that they're not committed to the cause and values of freedom, even though they speak of this. We heard very clearly during Vice President Vance's speech in Munich, different examples of how these European partners and longtime allies in many cases are actually implementing policies that undermine democracy, that shows that they don't actually believe in the voices of the people being heard and implementing anti-freedom policies.
Exactly. Anti-freedom policies. Anti-freedom policies. Like vax and scratch. Like vax and scratch. But you know the audacity on Cuomo, though. I got to say, man, this guy, like in his opening campaign announcement, he actually takes credit for COVID. He actually takes credit for COVID. The nursing home killer. He's like a serial killer. A nursing home killer. And he actually said New York City led and saved the nation. This is the arrogance of this guy. Save the nation.
COVID, my friends, was the greatest threat faced in a generation. It was life and death. It was as serious as it gets, and it was as scary as it gets. And New York We had it first, and we had it worst, and we were on our own. And no one...
Except for when President Trump sent you that gigantic hospital ship, right? Except for that. You were on your own. We were on our own. There was no one coming. We had to do it ourselves. Me. Alone. When he says we were on our own, he means him, the arrogant narcissist, you know. I was on my own. I had to do all this. I had to save and lead the nation in nursing home deaths. That's the thing. I mean, you can't let go of the fact that he's the nursing home killer. You really can't. Dexter looks up to this guy. Dexter looks up to this guy for getting away with it. Because even Dexter, in the end... You know, all serial killers eventually get caught. So all serial killers, whether it's John Wayne Gacy they should all look to Cuomo and be like, how did this guy get away with it? How was he able to do that? Amazing, right? It's an amazing feat.
Knew what to do. But what did we do?
What did we do?
We came together. We stood tall. We stood strong. And we faced the challenge head on. And you know what? The nurses and the doctors, they showed up every day. What were they?
I just cannot believe he's using COVID as his that's his talking point to get everybody's vote for mayor. That's his talking point, COVID. He locked down his state, right? This guy, and yet he comes out there, and I think it was, Janice Dean from Fox News has been all over Cuomo ever since the beginning. She's just been savaging him. And she should, because she lost her family into the nursing homes. And she said, keep corrupt, dishonest Andrew Cuomo from office. And so did an FDNY battalion chief named Sean Newman, whose parents, Michael and Dolores Newman, died in 2020 in a nursing home. And he said, keep that corrupt, dishonest Cuomo away from office. That's what he said. And I don't blame him. I don't blame him. He said, OA Board of Directors, as you debate the difficult and complex decision of candidate endorsement, I wanted to express my opposition to Andrew Cuomo's candidacy or any attempt by him to return to public office. Disgraced former Governor Cuomo is corrupt, dishonest, and uses well-known intimidation tactics to get his way, which is something my family and I have never bowed to. Let me explain. During the pandemic of 2020, we were all given direct orders to lock down and do everything we could to stay away from the COVID-19 virus. While we were in quarantine, we could no longer visit nor care for my elderly parents who were in separate care facilities. My father, Mickey, a retired member of the FDNY and the UFA, was in a nursing home rehab facility, while my mother, Dolores, had just moved to an assisted living facility in a double room waiting for her husband of almost 60 years to get well enough to join her. The illnesses that brought them to the care facilities could not have come at a worse time. My parents died within 2.5 weeks of each other, and they died alone. At the time, we had no idea that our former governor had issued a directive on March 25th, 2020, to flood New York senior facilities with over 9,000 COVID patients, a decision that we believe could have killed my parents. We are not angry simply because an order was issued during a chaotic and confusing time. We're angry for the reasons the March 25th order was sent out, which was designed to be in the best interests of healthcare executives and not in the best interests of an aging population with compromised immune systems. These decisions were based on politics and exacting control on the population as opposed to science and public benefit. For instance, the USS Comfort and the Javits Center stayed virtually empty during the crisis, while hospitals were packed with COVID patients well beyond capacity. No satisfactory answer was ever given. Cuomo had us all fooled, beginning with his version of fireside chats. His daily pep talks were watched by the whole country, and he did not see it as an opportunity to truly lead in crisis, but to set up his next political leap. We found that out in the middle of the pandemic, he was writing his so-called leadership book and doing so on the public dime. With death tolls spiking, Cuomo thought the best use of his time and staff resources was self-aggrandizement. This was not only devastating leadership mistakes that Andrew Cuomo made with his executive powers. He shut down businesses and churches and kept our children out of school for over a year. He mandated that our responders get vaccinated or be fired, even though all these brave men and women risked their lives and their health in the beginning of the pandemic. Many of them had already contracted COVID and had natural immunity. So, you know, I think the guy is, he is the worst. No doubt about it. He is the worst, the Lovegov. But we'll have a lot of fun making fun of him. I can tell you that. We'll have a lot of fun with that. Fox Sports America with Jimmy Failla is up next. Thanks for listening.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.